All right, turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Today is about remembering. We remembered our veterans. We paid reverence to our veterans. There's no way in the world we can pay them what they're worth. There's absolutely no way we can pay them what they're worth. It really bothers your pastor. And I don't usually say political things from the pulpit, but it really, and Amy just looked up at me like, don't do it now, but it really bothers me that we spend billions of dollars all over the world and on the globe, but we don't take care of our veterans the way we ought to. Our veterans ought to come first for the sacrifice they've made for us. We've remembered the Terrys, with Miss Terry passing away this past week. Honestly, y'all, I really feel bad because I thought that she'd already passed away. I didn't know that she was still alive. But we paid respect to Miss Terry. Good gracious, what a homegoing she had this. I don't know when Mr. Terry died, but I think it's been some years ago. And Scripture says in heaven it's like 1,000 years is like a year. But still, I can't imagine being separated from my wife for a period of time. And boy, the celebration she had this past week when she got home, and not only did she get to see the Lord's face, but the one that she loved so much, Mr. Terry, as well. The church, we're also going to be doing another type of remembrance this morning. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to start reading in verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance for me.'" Now, as we just read verse 23, that last sentence seems to stick out just a little bit. Something that's said, the way it's written, it infers that we might need to pay attention. Listen to that last sentence again. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. Look at verse 25. It says, "In the same way, he also took the cup," being Jesus, "after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many fall asleep. If we were properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that you come together and not cause judgment. And I will give instructions about other matters whenever I come." The emphasis I want you to understand here this morning, we saw Jesus make the comment two times. Once we saw him in the latter part of verse 24, and then we saw him again say it in the verse 25. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Well, church, I don't know if you've ever thought about this scripture, but what does he want us to remember? As he commands us to take of the Lord's Supper, what is it that he wants us to remember? Church, there's several things this morning I think God wants us to remember. Number one, he wants us to remember who we are. And church, it seems as if we as a nation, we as a people, and we as a church have forgotten who we are. We don't understand that we call ourselves Christians. We don't understand that when we brand ourselves as a Christian, what it stands for. If you call yourself a Christian, you are a blood-bought child of the King. That ought to give you just unbelievable honor. You ought to stand head and shoulders above the rest. Not because of anything you've done, but because of who Jesus is to you. How many of y'all, and you don't hear this nearly as much as you used to. I remember when I was a child, my uncle would always say it. I didn't hear my dad say it too much. But my uncle was very, very proud that I was the only Waddell boy to carry on the name. Out of all six or seven brothers and sisters, I was the only Waddell boy to carry on the name. And every time he would leave me, he would look at me and he'd say, "Remember who you belong to." Well, what's he talking about there? He's referring to my name. Well, church, incidentally, as I've studied that name, it ain't a whole lot to be proud of, but I'm just, you know, he was very proud and he wanted me to be proud. Jesus wants us to remember who we are to be proud. We're living in a day, church, where Christians who call themselves Christians aren't proud to be Christians. Why? Because culture says we're wrong. Because culture says that we're judging them and we're demeaning them because we stand on the Word of God. I want to tell you to remember who you are. You are a blood-bought child of the King. Don't you back up. You stand firm on the Word of God, and it doesn't matter what anybody says to you, you're right and they're wrong. God could care less what your opinion is. If you can't quote it from the Word of God, you can't stand on it. God wants us to remember who we are. We're Christians. We're brothers and sisters. Secondly, God wants us to remember where we came from. And I don't know if y'all reflect on this much. Do you remember where you were when Jesus saved you? Do you remember what you were doing when Jesus saved you? Do you remember how you were living when Jesus saved you? The reason why that old song, and I bring this up from time to time, used to be sung all the time in church, "When my Savior reached down for me," he had to reach way, way down for me. The reason that song just tears me up is because I know how far Jesus had to reach for me. He had to reach way down for me. My parents didn't go to church. They still don't go to church. Church, listen to me. I've had several conversations with unbelievably gifted men of God who were, I mean, just head and shoulders above me, and I've sat down with them, and the very first question I ask them is this: why me? Why me? Why did God choose to save me, reach out with greatly? Now, He does that with all, but why, Sharon, why did He pick me to be a preacher? Me! I can't read in front of people. I used to be scared to death to stand in front of people. My class I hated most in high school, which I don't even know if they have anymore, was speech and drama. Because you had to stand up in front of people and talk. Y'all know speech class? Hated it. And I couldn't stand drama. The two things you have to do as a pastor is you have to stand up and talk every single Sunday, twice, and sometime, you know, on Wednesday. And guess what else you have to do? Deal with church drama. Kim, you'll never forget that message. Oh, well. Hey, listen. We need to remember who we are. And we need to remember where we came from. That life of sin that He saved us from. It's unbelievable the depths of love that Jesus saved me from. That life of sin. Do you remember where you were? Do you remember who you were? Listen, I believe He wants us to remember something else. I think He wants us to remember the price that was paid. The price that was paid. Do you understand, church, that the price that was paid to redeem us was too much? Do y'all get that? listen to what he says here. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. This is what he wants you to remember. The price that was paid to redeem you was too much. Now listen, I think so. I think so. As I look at the total picture, look at it from a courtroom perspective, look at it from a judge or a jury standpoint, you look at what Christ went through, how he suffered, how he died, how he was beat, how he was spit upon. The Lord Jesus Christ was spit upon. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. What he endured was too much for you, Colin. You're not worth it. In my eyes, hey, listen, Dan, you're not worth it. What he endured, he was innocent. Nothing. He didn't deserve any of it. But he died for you, Dan. Hey, listen, I don't think you're worth it. I could go through every single one of you in this room and do the same thing. I can look in the mirror and say the same thing. I'm not worth what he did. The price that he paid, listen, it was too much. I wouldn't do it for you. I'm sorry. I'd do it for my family. I would, in my mind, I think that I would. But do you understand the price that Jesus paid was too high? And the life that we live knowing the price that he paid is heresy. Church, I believe he wants us to remember who we are, where we came from, the price that was paid. I also believe he wants us to remember his soon return. He wants us to be watching, waiting. Hey, listen, you don't have to be a psychologist, a sociologist. You don't have to be a psychic. You don't have to be a mind reader. You don't have to have a crystal ball or a magic wand to look and read in Scripture what Scripture says, how things are going to line up before Christ's return. You don't have to really study the parable of the fig tree, even though it's right there before you, Mr. White, and know that Israel became a nation May 14th of 1948, and Scripture says, this generation shall not pass away until my return. Listen, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to realize that in the past 5 years, America and the world has turned an immoral eye to God. What was right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right. And listen, not only are we calling wrong right, but we're glorifying it. Do you know this past week, and I'm not going to name the denomination because I don't want to mar the denomination as a whole, but this past week, a woman, lesbian woman was ordained into the ministry. Let that sink in for a second. A lesbian woman was ordained into the ministry. Does anybody have a problem with that? Hey, listen, it doesn't matter whether you have a problem with it. God does. Well, Brother Kyle, you just need to roll with culture. No, I'm rolling with the Word of God. If the Word of God does not say it, I don't have an opinion on it, and neither should you. If somebody walks up to you and says, well, Colin, let me ask you a question. What is your opinion on so-and-so? If the Word of God does, you need to stand up and say, listen, I'm with God every single time. If God says it, I believe it. Church, Jesus is coming, and it's not going to be long. We as Christians are told to be watching and waiting. Does anybody know when he's coming? Absolutely not. But you need to be ready for when he does come. I wrote not long ago, I believe that the lost and the Christian alike, when Jesus comes, if Jesus were to come right now, I believe we'd both be ashamed. But you don't have to be. Listen, you know what's right and what's wrong. You know what you ought to be doing and what you ought not be doing. Amen? I believe he wants us to remember also. We need to remember the lost. Brother Kyle, hold on a second. He says, do this in remembrance of me. You know when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, do you know what we're to love? Who we're to love, and how we're to love. We're to love what Jesus loves. We're to love how Jesus loves. We need to remember the lost. I just can't get out of my mind. Ever since I started preaching through the book of Revelation, and I've been preaching the book of Revelation since June, church family, and I'll be preaching tonight. Revelation 6, the fifth seal is going to be open this tonight. You need to be here. God has just poured upon my heart. Listen, the lost. If Christ were to return today, nearly 7 billion people would be left behind. Brother Kyle, why do we need to remember the lost? Because Jesus loved them. Do you know Jesus loves those Muslims that are cutting the heads off of Christians? You know Jesus loves those Muslims who are putting Christians in cages and dropping them down in the water? And just about as they're about to drown, they'll bring them up out of the water just to let them breathe a little bit and then resubmerge them so they can drown completely. You know Jesus loves them. It's hard for us to believe as we watch the news, isn't it? But Jesus loves them. Do you know Jesus loves each and every one of us? Listen, we need to have a heart for the lost. We really do. Do you realize that Jesus loves every single one of the children in our neighborhood that get off the bus every single day and walk past our church and don't know who Jesus is? Church, we need to remember the lost. Why? Because Jesus loved them. Today's a day of remembrance. This morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper, remember. Remember. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from. Remember the price that was paid. Remember Christ's return is imminent. We need to remember the lost, church. Now, right here in a second, I'm gonna close in prayer. And then we're going to have an altar call. Scripture that I just read a few minutes ago says we need to do a self-examination before you take the Lord's Supper. And it's been a while since we had the Lord's Supper. Listen to me. You need to find yourself in the right mindset before you partake of the Lord's Supper. If you're not where you need to be, just pass it by. Nobody's going to say anything to you. But I want to give you the opportunity right now to set all things right with the Lord. Here in a second, as I pray, the musician's going to come. They're going to play a little bit. And as the music plays, if you need to come down and just do some business with God down here at the altar before we take of the Lord's Supper, the altar's open for you. There's not going to be anybody looking around. All heads are going to be bowed and all eyes are going to be closed. It's just a time that you can spend with the Lord before we partake of the Lord's Supper. So let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you give us this opportunity, this time that we might remember who you are and what you've done in our lives. God, if we don't remember, we're going to forget. Help us to remember, Lord. We've forgotten enough. Help us to remember everything that you've done for us, the sacrifices that you've made. Help us to feel the love that you have for us and for the lost. Be with us during this time. I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here who just needs to come down and spend some quiet time with you during this invitation, you just impress it upon their hearts right now to come forward as the music plays. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?